You have your Bibles, you want to turn to Luke, the 18th chapter with me today. I'll be reading from verses 1 through 8. The title of the sermon today is Kneeling, Standing, or Prostrate. Now that may give you a clue as to what my sermon is about today. Anybody want to gander a guess? Praying. And so today I know that many of you out there have heard many sermons on prayer. And I've preached many sermons on prayer. And I hope this morning that we can add something to that knowledge and to that conviction. And so we're going to be talking about prayer. The Bible demonstrates for us that people in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well have knelt to pray. They have stood to pray and they have laid on the floor prostrate before God. So we see that the me or how we pray is not nearly as important as if we do pray. In fact, we find out about prayer in many different ways. Sometimes we get in a desperate situation and we think we have to pray, like this young man who went into a drugstore and encountered this middle-aged pharmacist. And the pharmacist asked him, "Can I help you, son?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What do you need?" He said, "I want 3 boxes of chocolate, a small one, a medium size, and a large one." And the pharmacist shook his head and said, "You need 3. And is this for someone special?" He said, "Well, no." He said, "I'm going over to my girlfriend's house to eat supper tonight. And then we're going to go out afterwards. And if she lets me hold her hand, I'm going to give her the small box. If she lets me kiss her on the cheek, I'm going to give her the medium size. But if we get into some serious smooching, I'm going to give her the big one." The pharmacist kind of laughed, and the young man paid for his boxes of candy and went out the door. And that night, he went to his girlfriend's house to eat. He got there, and they all gathered in the dining room, and they were sat down, and he was sitting there. He offered to say grace. And so they, of course, accommodated him, and he prayed for about 5 minutes. It went on and on and on. And after he got through and said amen, his girlfriend said, "You never told me that you were such a religious person." He said, "You never told me your father was a pharmacist." So sometimes we find that we learn about prayer in desperate situations. And from our scripture this morning, we will see that prayer is an important discipline that Christ taught his disciples. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. From our scripture this morning, we see that prayer is an important part of the teaching that Jesus gave his disciples. And it began with a parable about a widow who had an adversary that was trying to take advantage of her. Many theologians think that some of us were either trying to cheat her out of her money or cheat her out of her land that her husband left her. This was prevalent in biblical times because women had few legal rights. In fact, we know that land was taken from widows and they were put under other men. In Jesus' parable, this widow not only had the hurdle of being a female, she faced a terrible judge, an unjust judge. He didn't have any fear of God, nor did he care what people thought. He was probably a Gentile judge designated by the Roman authorities. For you see, judges were sold and bought. And a judge could make a good living just from the bribes that he received because it was a commonplace thing. Our widow had no money to bribe this wicked judge. So her only recourse was to come to him repeatedly, persistently, crying, "Grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary." But he dismissed her claim time and time again, until finally in verse 5, he admits that she bothered him. And the word bothered in this particular passage of Scripture means that she poked him in the eye. He was so upset because she was constantly in his face. The persistent cry for justice finally paid off. The judge ruled in her favor and she got her land. And the parable teaches us the importance of persistent prayer. For you see, God expects us to be as persistent in prayer just as the widow was persistent in seeking justice from this wicked judge. God wants us to persist in prayer. In the second chapter of Acts, we see a band of Jesus' followers who were called to the upper room. And they prayed for days and nights. And they prayed persistently until we know what happened. The great birthday of the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit fell on all of them because they were persistent in prayer and waited upon God. We find in Acts 16, Paul and Silas kept singing and praying until a great earthquake occurred and all the prisoners were gone. But Paul and Silas stayed because of the jail guard. And the jail guard there was not a Christian, and they took time to calm him down. Don't kill yourself, but the thing you need to do is receive Christ as your Savior, and he did. There was power in that prayer, and there was something that came out of that powerful prayer. A man accepted the Lord. The fact is that persistent prayer produces results. I want to ask you, do you pray as Jesus told you to? Do you pray constantly, persistently, and fervently as Jesus taught his disciples to do? Jesus told us that it's hard work, but he also said that prayer taps you into the power of God. Therefore, how you pray is a reflection of your faith. Again, I ask, do you believe in the power of prayer? Really? Let me put it this way. If every person in the church prayed just like you, would people say that this church believed in the power of prayer? Prayer is an important thing, not only for individuals, but also for the church. J.H. Jowett wrote, "All vital praying makes a drain on man's vitality. True intercession is a sacrifice, a bleeding sacrifice." And Thomas Watson wrote, "Christ went more readily to the cross than Christians do to the throne of grace." Prayer is indeed hard work. That's at least part of the reason why people would rather come to church than to prayer meetings. It's easier to be entertained at church than at prayer meetings. For you see, prayer is hard work. This is a parable of contrast, not necessarily comparisons. For Jesus said that our Heavenly Father is not like the unjust judge. If this godless, corrupt judge would respond to the widow because of her consistent persistence, how much more will our loving God respond to your prayers and to my prayers? Now, he will not jump every time you ask him for something, but he does answer persistent prayer. God just may want to see if we will continue faithfully in our prayers to him. For you see, persistent prayer should characterize the prayer life of every believer. It should also characterize the prayer life of a body of believers, a church, if you will. Our persistent prayer should be for God our Father to protect us from the devil and his works, which destroy fellowships and weaken Christians. Churches everywhere under attack from within and without. The devil uses church members to create discord and division in a fellowship. Good and faithful Christians can fall prey to the evil one by allowing our human nature, our human desires, our human prejudices to persuade our new natures to compromise the character of our new man. One thing we must all consider is the fact that none of us are righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. Therefore, we must consistently pray for God to examine our hearts so that we do not allow Satan a stronghold. We should also check our behavior against Scripture and make sure that we are giving way to God in our lives. If we don't, there is a possibility that we will allow Satan to have a stronghold in our life and cause us to act against our Christian nature and what we feel is important. We find also that in addition to persistent praying, Christians are less likely to walk away from God's will and purpose for their lives. Many people who have been out of church for a long time, they haven't been attending faithfully. They will tell you that getting out of the habit began with them not needing to pray, not necessarily having to pray. We must be a people of prayer. We must put a priority on going to the Lord in prayer. You see, private prayer is critical to finding strength and living the Christian faith and for finding peace in the storms of life. There is no more greater discipline than just praying to God. I want to tell you this morning, if you neglect prayer, I will guarantee you that you will be more likely to find yourself spiritually dry. And like the young man that needed a special prayer at his girlfriend's dinner, you'll find that it's very hard to drum it up at the last minute. People who do not pray do not feel close to God. They begin to doubt their beliefs. They lack spiritual power, and they find themselves depending on something other than God. Persistent prayer, the Bible teaches, produces several things. Number one, persistent prayer changes the believer. As we pray, our fellowship with God is sweeter. As we learn to pray persistently about everything, God uses our communication with Him to cause us to think more like Him, to be like Him, to think more like Him than the world, to act more like Him, to become Christ-like. You see, prayer changes us. When we come into that communion with God and we're there at the throne of grace and we're crying out to God many times, I can tell you that God is changing us and our opinions and our attitudes and our unchristian thoughts. We find as we learn to pray persistently about everything, God uses our communication with Him to cause us to think more like Him. I want to tell you a story about Jimmy Stewart, the one that he shared about when he filmed It's a Wonderful Life. Mr. Stewart said, it's really hard to explain. I, for one, had things happen to me during the filming of that movie that I've never had happen to me in any other picture that I've made. In one scene, for example, George Bailey is faced with criminal charges and, not knowing where to turn, ends up in a little roadside restaurant. For you see, he's unaware that many people in this community are praying for him persistently. At the lowest point in George Bailey's life, Frank Capra was shooting a long shot of him slumped in despair. In agony, he said, I raised my eyes, and following the script, I read, plead, God, God, dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God. He said, as I said those words, I felt the loneliness, the hopelessness of people who had nowhere to turn, and my eyes filled with tears for no reason. I broke down sobbing. This was not planned at all, but the power of that prayer, the realization that our Father in heaven is there to help the hopeless, reduced me to tears. So persistent prayer changes us. We find that persistent prayer also changes circumstances. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances which do not honor God, and we need a change. Persistent prayer does that. Persistent prayer changes us and circumstances, but it also produces power in our life. The more we pray, the greater power we have. The more we pray, the greater faith we have. The more prayer we have, the better our relationship is with a loving, caring God. It's an investment that's worth our time and effort. As a Christian prays, their relationship with God grows, and they tend to have more confidence in God and less confidence in themselves. In other words, persistent prayer strengthens believers to look to God for the ability to do things rather than to look to ourselves and our own natural abilities. You see, persistent prayer is a great discipline to keep every Christian strong. As I said earlier, people who do not pray consistently or persistently tend to be weak and like a limb that can be broken. But persistent prayer, a person that is a prayer warrior will have their faith become stronger, and they will be like a live oak, strong and able to withstand the storms of this day and age. They'll be able to embrace God and pray for others. They will be more aware of God working in their lives, and they will feel the power of God in their lives. In addition, a persistent praying church produces unity among the believers. It produces faith in a congregation. It produces strength to carry out God's will. A persistently praying church focuses on the mission of the church instead of lesser things. Paul Harvey shared a story about a 3-year-old boy giving an illustration about persistence. He went to the grocery store with his mother. As they got to the door, the mother looked at that 3-year-old and said, "I'm telling you, do not ask me for chocolate cookies. I'm not going to buy any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask." She put the little boy in the cart, and around the grocery store they went. As they approached that cookie counter, it's all he could do. He was trying to not to say anything, but he got over there and saw sight of those chocolate, and he let out, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies? I told you, do not ask to have those things. Get back and seat. You sit down. You're not going to have any chocolate chip cookies." So he sat down. They went around the grocery store a few more things, and his mother got close to that cookie aisle again, and he said, "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "Get back and sit down. You're not going to have them. I told you before you came in here, don't ask for these." So as their cart headed toward the checkout counter, the little boy was feeling more desperate and more desperate. The little boy sensed that this may be his last chance. So just before the cart got to the line, he stood up on the seat of the cart and shouted in the loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And everybody laughed. Some even applauded. But that little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies that day. You see the power in persistent prayer? Jesus taught the disciples to pray persistently. It's a model for every Christian and every church. There are instances of prayer in the Bible where followers of God kneel, they stand, they pray prostrate on the ground. It doesn't make any difference how we pray, but God calls us as Christians to pray persistently and for His church to pray constantly. So in this sermon today, let me challenge you to do several things. First, if you're not praying as Jesus taught us to pray, then I would ask you to reprioritize your day and include a time of prayer. And I'll guarantee you after 30 days, you'll feel closer, stronger, more vibrant in Him than you have ever been in your life. Just give Him a chance. Create a prayer list which includes your church. Pray that this church will follow God's will and this church will be protected from the attacks of Satan. We know that the devil seeks whom he may devour, and we need to be prayed up as a church. We need to pray up that God will help us focus on our mission and not the silly little things that take our time. And I think we can do that, and we have been doing that. The second thing I would challenge you to do is join others in prayer. Remember when Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there"? It's important to pray with others. Even create your own prayer group if you want to. Gather several of your friends together and say, "Let's just pray one for another. Let's pray for our church. Let's make prayer a priority in our fellowships, in our social events." And I guarantee you this small group will grow closer and closer together, and you will begin to sense the power of God in your life, and you'll see Him in the circumstances of your life. And thirdly, I'd like to challenge you to join your church in prayer meetings on Wednesday night. I want to tell you, it may not be the most exciting service in this church, but it is the most powerful. And it's amazing to me. There are a lot of people who want their names and their families' names on the prayer list, and yet they don't want to come and pray for them. I would say make prayer meeting a priority in 2015. And when you consistently go to a prayer meeting and gather with other believers, you may not see sparkles, you may not see any fireworks, but I can tell you the consistent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you'll begin to sense God in your life in a greater way. You do not have to pray loud or long. Maybe you just want to come and sit and pray in silence just to agree with us. But I would say today, this coming year, if you want strength, if you want power in your Christian life, if you want to feel God's presence in a more powerful way, if you want to see God change you and change the circumstances in your life, then I'm calling you to get on your knees, to stand, to lay prostrate, but by all means, pray. Because this is the will of God for His disciples, and we are His disciples. It is the will of God for His church. And this is God's wish for us. You may not like prayer meetings. You may say, I don't pray out loud. I don't want to pray. I'm embarrassed. I don't know how to pray. I can't pray like so-and-so. Well, all God's looking for is sincerity. All God's looking for is for you to acknowledge Him. All God's looking for is for you to seek Him. And when you seek Him, you will surely find Him. And the more you invest your Christian life in prayer, the more you will see Him, the more you'll feel Him, the more you'll hear Him, and the greater strength you'll have in confidence that this Christian life that you live is more powerful than anything the world has to offer. But you must decide. God is waiting. God inhabits the praise of His people. I hear so many times about people driving down the highway and praying. I hear about people sweeping and vacuuming and praying. I hear people that pray in the shower. I hear people that pray here. I want you to know that God wants your undivided attention. He wants you to spend a few minutes with Him. Nothing going on around you. Nothing taking focus off of Him. And when we spend that time with Him in prayer, I promise you, if you consistently do this and persistently do it, you will hear Him in that still, small voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to know He's got your undivided attention, for He has blessings for you. He has power for you. He has confidence for you, for He is a great God. But before we can do that, you've got to know Him. And if you're here this morning and you have never made a public profession of your faith, I invite you this morning, we sing our hymn of invitation, for you to come forward and take my hand and say, I've never made a public profession of faith, but I want Christ in my life, and I want Him to be the Lord of my life, and I want to learn the disciplines of being a Christian, and this church will help you do it. You may be here this morning and say, listen, the preacher is preaching to me today because I haven't been praying like I should. The preacher must be know something about me. I don't, but God does. And all God wants and all I want for you is power in your life, strength for the times of trouble, and for this church to be a church that's known in this community by its unity, by its love,